Why don't we start with the story from Seth Wickersham and his book, Wickersham. It was Wickersham, the book and the expert. And basically the headline, again, to refresh everybody, is that Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' dad, didn't want Caleb Williams to go to the Bears. And Caleb Williams was even balking a little bit, wanting, desirous of going to the Minnesota Vikings at one time because he liked what they had going on there, which he can, in some ways you can't blame him for. Ultimately, it was Caleb Williams who said, you know what? I can do this. I want to play for the Bears. And he played for the Bears last year. And that brings us to right now. Dan, your thoughts on this article?
Well, let's start here on a personal note, right? Like I scheduled this weekend with my buddies from North Carolina in the middle of May, because as we're piecing together schedules, you're like, oh, it's going to be pretty quiet. It's going to be after the draft. It's going to be before OTAs. Like the schedule will be out. We're just, you know, kind of cruising to the weekend and what could possibly happen. And then you mentioned the schedule release, which we knew about, this excerpt from Seth Wickersham's book, and then the stadium front. You miss a little, miss a lot, Grody. And I felt sort of out of my element watching things blow up on my phone for 48 hours and not being able to react the way I normally would in my professional world, right? Like you want to get on, your voice heard, you want to chime in on various topics. This one is weird for me because there's so much of it that is past news. And then you're trying to figure out how to interpret the relevant to now, right? It's like that whole, so now what question, and what does it mean for Caleb Williams 2025? What does it mean for the Bears in 2025? And there aren't really convenient answers to those questions right now. And I think you and I probably are both very eager to hear A, from Caleb Williams at some time soon. If I was in charge of how to do things at Halas Hall, I would recommend having Caleb Williams talk after Wednesday's OTA practice this week and just get this whole thing behind them as soon as possible. I think if you delay Caleb any more than that, you're just giving this oxygen, right? And it's going to go there. Grody, David and I used to play a game periodically on the Take the North podcast called How Big Is Your Headline? This is a great story for How Big Is Your Headline, because it's obviously a story. And then you're trying to figure out, is this going to be like front page of the paper, above the fold, biggest font you can find? Or is it just, hey, here's some things we learned about Caleb Williams joining the Bears. So I guess I'll throw that at you, and then I'll kind of try to give you some insight into how conflicted I am and how to process some of this.
When you say how big is your headline, so you want me to give you a headline, or
no? I'm saying like how big are, like, you get this story on Thursday, I guess it was, it comes out, like, where are you placing it in the old traditional newspaper form? Is it on page 7 of the sports section? Is it on A1 of the whole paper? How big is your headline?
The headline is huge, and I can even tell you what the headline would have been for me. Like we almost lost Caleb. Caleb was almost lost by the Chicago Bears. So it's a massive headline. And part of the reason is, and I understand that we knew a lot of this, like none of it should be necessarily shocking. I mean, maybe some parts of it, and we'll get to that. But the fact, like if Caleb did not come here or circumvented in some wild way some of the things that Carl Williams, his father, was talking about, I can't think of a bigger sports disaster for the city of Chicago ever. There's been some horrible things that have happened in Chicago sports. I mean, we can make a list. That is for sure. We are not at a lacking for those, as are most cities. But that would have been Bears lose the top pick, this generational quarterback who, and let's say, probably never would have happened that he would have ended up in Minnesota. But if he had like taken the year off or gone to another football league, that is the biggest sports story maybe ever in the city, considering how important the Chicago Bears are to people.
Yeah, I mean, so you have essentially chronicled how this could have been one of the biggest disasters in Chicago sports, and they somehow sidestepped that pothole, that line.
Yeah,
that line.
Yeah, so to some degree, Dan, it's like we should be celebrating that he decided to come here.
You start reading the thoughts of like going to play for the UFL so that then you could take a year and then choose your destination. And you realize how serious the Williams worries were about this entire situation. I think the worries were documented in real time back in the spring of 2024. I think they were real. I think what's troubling to me about the whole thing is that the worries that the Williams family had all came true, right? Like they didn't want to join an organization that had, institutional dysfunction, this whole track record of instability, and they didn't want to be part of the instability. And then in Caleb Williams' rookie season, they fire the hand-selected offensive coordinator in November, and they fire the head coach 3 weeks after that. And you're just like, oh my God, like where this becomes a present day story for me is you have to figure out a way to recreate trust, right? And part of that was in the hiring process that they went through in January and pairing Caleb up with Ben Johnson and hoping that that then assures him that he can get his career relaunched the right way. But I think what bothered me the most about just kind of revisiting things that we didn't know and things that we already knew is that it's just another illumination of how this organization is so consistently clumsy in situations like this, right, Grody? And so like you're working through a history in a situation where you're like, man, like when the star quarterback in the draft where you're picking number one doesn't want to play for you, or at least has questions before he decides, yes, I'm going to do this. And, or as in Seth Wickersham's words, like decides not to light the match with the gas leak out there, right? Like you've got issues. And like we've talked for decades about the issues here in this organization. And this was just another reminder of how real they are, how the perception of them is created in the outside world. And yes, Caleb did come here and sign up and play in his rookie season, but then he was subjected to a lot of disruption and distraction and everything else that we've chronicled. And it just leaves you unsettled because you realize that, wait a minute, while they may have given Ben Johnson a mop and a bucket and said, clean this up, it ain't cleaned up yet. Right. No. Like, and they've got to figure out a way to get this thing cleaned up. And so that process is ongoing. It's an oil spill really that they're still trying to get cleaned up.
It really is. I mean, that's a great point because a lot of people that are pushing back on the story. So I'm not trying to make it sound like everybody's like, stop talking about this, but there are a decent amount of people who are like, that was the past. He's here now. Well, the problem with that is what went on last year put him behind. It stunted his growth. He's in a place right now. And, you know, hopefully we could ask him about this if he is to be made available on Wednesday. But the whole thing about not learning how to watch film properly, yeah. Like here it is. I've turned to page 4 in my missalette. At times, Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. No one tells me what to watch, Caleb Williams told his dad. And Caleb Williams went on to say, I just turn it on. So there are rudimentary, basic things that didn't get squared away. And here we have Ben Johnson again. One of the things that he will talk about physically with Caleb Johnson is footwork. Here we go again with footwork. And I understand that that's an ongoing process. And maybe they were working on that with him. But there are basics, things that got stunted because of the poor coaching, the poor selection of the coaches, and the poor coaching. And what really makes me most angry about it, Dan, is I go back to Hard Knocks, and I was saying this in real time while it was going on, that they went out of their way to, in just about every episode, to show Matt Eberflus coaching this guy and sitting in an office with him. And for the record, they were looking at video at times. Now, there might have just been still shots, and maybe that was all. It turns out it probably was all show for the camera. Well, I knew it was BS then, and now I know more than ever that it was. I mean, it pissed me off then, and it makes me even more angry now that it's confirmed that Matt Eberflus had nothing to do with watching tape with Caleb Williams, nor did Shane Waldron, as we're learning now.
Well, and I think you and I talked previously about how we didn't see Shane Waldron very much during Hard Knocks, and it was like, should we make more of a note of that than we need to, because it's weird that the guy that they hand-selected to help get the quarterback launched wasn't being prominently displayed in that way. We've heard from Ryan Poles that there were compatibility issues. I will say this, this is a two-way street. And if you're a rookie quarterback drafted number one overall to play in the National Football League, you've got responsibilities also. And if you don't know how to watch the film, you need to get your ass into the office at 7 o'clock in the morning and say, guys, like, I hate to tell you this. I don't know what I'm looking at. Right. And so this is where this marries up with some of the things that we've heard from Ryan Poles since last season ended about Caleb learning to be a professional quarterback in the NFL. Right. And trying to develop work habits that go along with the work ethic that then produce results. And so like, I'm not going to sit here and give Caleb Williams 100% lenience on this, because if you weren't getting what you needed, you're the most important person in that entire building. You need to let them know what you need, and you need to be very adamant about it, and you need to express it. Maybe he did. And maybe these are some of the questions that we need to ask Caleb next time we talk to him is,
you're right.
What did, when you came to that realization, what were your troubleshooting methods, right? Because, you know, you and I heard later in the season from Kerry Joseph, from Thomas Brown, about things that they wanted Caleb to focus on going into year two, right? Like the things of trying to compartmentalize and not to try to tackle too much at once, and to make sure that you're focusing on this first. And before you give yourself clearance to go to the next stage, make sure you've mastered this first, you know? And so like, there is a process to this. There's an educational process where the teaching obviously wasn't done at the level it needed to be done, but the learning wasn't done at the level it needed to be done early. Because if it was, that would not have been a part of this story here. It would have been like, oh man, like I've got to learn how to do this. Again, Case Keenum was also signed here a couple months ago to be a veteran person in the quarterback's room that a young quarterback like Caleb Williams can lean on. Last year, he's sitting with Tyson Bagent and Austin Reed, neither of whom have the experience or probably at this stage of their careers, the bandwidth to be able to be a compass for Caleb Williams. And so, you know, that is, again, it's a two-way street there. And I think what bothers me about the organizational instability on this front is, look, like I did a big story leading into the season last year. I don't remember if it ran right before training camp or right after training camp, about all of the things that Ryan Poles had put thought into in terms of getting Caleb Williams's career launched properly. And in retrospect, it wasn't that Ryan hadn't thought of any of this stuff. It's just that all the answers he came up with were wrong. He picked the wrong offensive coordinator, decided that Ryan Griffin was going to be the veteran resource in the quarterback's room to help bring Caleb along, decided to marry him up with a defensive-minded coach who a lot of people knew in real time was going to be in winner else, you know, situation in the rookie season of a franchise quarterback. And so it's like, man, they didn't just like kind of overlook some of this stuff. They looked deeply into it and then made all the wrong decisions. And so that's one of those things where you're like,
yeah,
where does that put your faith in things going forward as they try to get it restarted with Ben Johnson and company?
You had the wrong damn guys developing, in theory, the best quarterback prospect that you've ever had. And there is no excuse for that whatsoever. And if you want to bring like Trace Armstrong into this from the beginning with Matt Eberflus and all of that, I mean, then you have to say too that there was some naivete on the part of wrong decision and getting taken. And hopefully, as time goes on, that he will start to, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better way of putting it, do his homework a little bit more deeply, as opposed to just taking the word of others or just getting sort of coaxed into doing something. I want to also go back to what you were saying, because it's a great point about this does not excuse Caleb Williams. Like you said, that the part about, and you and I have been talking about this for a long time, that Caleb needs to learn how to be a professional, that
yeah,
he did all the right things. He was good with the media. He's a professional in terms of speaking to the media, but like in terms of being a quarterback in this league, for sure. It also said, and I've been saying this, Dan, it doesn't excuse every wrong decision he made on the field either. It's not like all of a sudden, well, okay, this article came out and Shane Waldron was not the right fit. Matt Eberflus was not the right fit. The entire staff was not the right fit. There were plenty of times on the field where Caleb Williams made mistakes or made poor decisions or did things that he should have known better. So no, this doesn't completely alleviate. It gives a little bit more excuse to Caleb Williams, but certainly not completely off the field or on the field.